Tonight I want to talk to you about the orphan spirit. What it means, what it does to you, the way, what it does to your way of thinking. And I want to share some of my testimony, what I went through the last 6 to 9 months, to give you a glimpse into what it can do if it's not in the light. So, but before we do that, let's all just pray and prepare our hearts to be, to receive what the Lord wants to give us tonight. Lord, I pray that you will come and speak through me tonight. I pray that you will come and touch every person here tonight and bless us. Come and pick us up and put us on your lap, Daddy, that we can sit and just be with you tonight. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in the movies you see this picture of people that walk normally around Christmas, and they walk on the side and they see these, looking through a window of a father and kids playing around. They're sitting in front of the fireplace and they look longingly into that picture of that father and that family and that love. And that's the picture that God has for us. But it's not a picture where we stand and we look out, or from the outside we look in and see this father figure and see the kids playing around. He's inviting us in. He is the perfect father, and he wants to invite us all in, and we can come and sit on his lap. We can come and sit with him because he is the perfect dad. I want to come tonight and expose a few lies that the devil tells us and whisper in our ears, and what's been said over us. And I want to come and replace it with truth of what God says. So before I can do that, I just want to give you a quick idea of where I came from, that you know how easy it is to fall into that trap. So I grew up with a stepdad. I was about two, we moved into with my stepdad. And my stepdad had this very bad anger. And my mom was very, very spiteful. So it was a recipe for disaster. There was a lot of fights. There was a lot of hitting. There was a lot of swearing. There was a lot of yelling in our home. It wasn't a lucky place. I heard afterwards, my stepdad and me, we used to fight a lot. My brother is 2 years younger than me. He's this real man's man, like to work with my stepdad in cars and outside. My sister is about 4 years older than I am, and she is this bright, straight-A student. She just, you know, she cries if she gets 98%. I mean, I wish I can go get there. But that's who she was. And I was this small little, not like this, small little tingerige mannetjie that was just, I didn't like getting my hands dirty. I didn't like being outside. I didn't like to work in cars. I mean, that's just not going to happen. But that's not me. I wanted to become a chef. I wanted to work in the kitchen. So my stepdad didn't like me. I didn't like him. And we often told each other that. And afterwards, I heard he liked to refer to me when I'm not around as the white rat. That was his nickname for me. So there was no love loss in that relationship. So out of that weird, crooked relationship, that is how I grew up. I remember them fighting and my stepdad chasing my mom out of home. I said, just take your kids and get out of my home. I don't want you here. So lying in bed, waiting for my mom to come and say, okay, it's done. We need to be out of here. And that is the constant, that is our norm. That is how we used to live. One day we were with friends, we had an assignment to do, and we visited friends and we were busy with it. And I realized the moment his parents walked into the room, I got this, everything tightened up. And I was waiting for the yelling and screaming and fights to start. And I remember, I was in grade 3 or 4 at that stage. And I remember waiting and thought, but what's happening now? Why? I mean, the mom is friendly, the dad is friendly. I didn't understand it. Because I thought the norm is yelling and shouting and cursing and whatever. That was my norm. So then I met my wife, and she was just all excited about the Lord. And I wanted to impress her, so I went with to church, and I started joining a Bible study group with her. And the weirdest thing, everybody in that Bible study hugged each other. They were like, hello, hello. And I'm like, this is too weird. So I want to impress her, so I tried to imitate it. But I didn't know how to receive it. I mean, I couldn't give it, really give it. I just faked it. But there started a journey for me where I walked with the Lord 19 years. But I looked at the Father. I looked at Father God through broken glasses of what a father should be. And I'm reading these scriptures. And I love, one of my favorite scriptures is in Zephaniah 3:17. That says, the Lord delights in us. He delights in us. And it's head knowledge. But one day I told my wife, it's head knowledge, but it's not heart knowledge. It doesn't feel like it. So that's where I came from. Sometimes it went well. Some days it went not so well. And I'm a fixer. So if I see a problem, I want to fix it. So as these symptoms and these stuff started happening, I focused on that problem and I fixed that. But I didn't go to the root of it. I didn't even know what the root of it was. And I'll tell you a little bit about that in a short while. So let's start with Scripture. What does God say we do? Then I'm going to talk a little bit about some things that I'm just going to ask questions. And you answer yes or no in your heart. Nobody needs to know. And then I'm going to put up some lies and truths of what God says. And then we're going to end it by word. So first, Romans 8, verse 14 to 17. I hope you can see. The last time I did the sermon, I did all in black. And nobody could see so I could just say whatever. And they wouldn't have known if it was correct. So Romans 8, verse 14 to 17. For all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading again to fear of God's judgment, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters. The spirit producing sonship, by which we joyfully cry, Abba, Father. The spirit himself testifies and confirms together with our spirit, assuring us that we believers are children of God. And if we are his children, then we are his. His heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. With Christ. Sharing his spiritual blessing and inheritance. If indeed we share in his suffering so that we may also share in his glory. And then verse 29. For those who he foreknew and loved and chose beforehand, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, and ultimately share in his complete sanctification, so that he would be the firstborn, the most beloved and honored among many believers. Do you believe that you are the most beloved and honored? That is what God says. We are the most beloved. And you know, sometimes we read this, but we don't spend time for it to really sink in. We don't sit and ponder these thoughts. Who am I that the highest king will welcome me? And that's what happened. I memorized all of these scriptures and I love to recite them. I'm the head, not the tail. I am the apple of his eye. He loves me. My name is written in his hand. Nobody can take me away. I love those scriptures. But it was head knowledge and never heart knowledge until a few months ago. So two reasons why I want to share this tonight. Firstly, I want to bring it into the light. Because the more I started reading and experiencing what is happening here, the more I realized, but there's a lot of people that struggle with the same symptoms. There's a lot of people with the same way of thinking that we are, that I had. So I want to bring it into the light and have help people to be free, to be set free. And it's not, the orphan spirit is not a spirit of that needs to be cast out of you. It is your spirit. So we are body, mind, and spirit. So it is our spirit that connects with the Holy Spirit. And it's a way that my spirit thinks. I feel abandoned. I feel that I'm not a son. It's nothing to do with, it's not an evil spirit that comes into me. It is my way of thinking. So I need to change the way I think. And secondly, I want to apologize. At some stage, I was preaching once a month. I was on the front seats of the church. And then something happened and I just retracted. I was so offended. I felt like a worm. And I didn't feel worthy to be here. And I didn't want to be fake. And I didn't want people to ask me questions. Donnie, what's up? Why? I went from the guy that was jumping up and down. I was so excited about the Lord to standing at the back and looking at people raising their hands. And they irritated me. I'm like, I want to get out of here. I mean, seriously, what are you doing? So I just left. And I know I hurt people. And I offended people. And for that, I want to say sorry. Now I want to put up a few questions and ask yourself, do you identify with some of them? I wanted to say something, but I'll behave. So firstly, do you sometimes struggle with anger and fits of rage? Sometimes with or without good reason. Do you sometimes feel alone, although you are in a group of people? You might be sitting here, but you're like, I don't feel part of this family. People say, good evening, family, and you're like, oh, weirdo. I don't feel part of you. You sometimes feel that you do not fit in. I remember I finished my matric, and I wanted to study further, and my stepdad said, sorry, there's not money for studies. My brother decided he wanted to go and study, and there was a lot of money for him. But I started working, and I always felt, but I'm not graduated. I don't have something against my name, so I'm not worthy. And it took me a long time before the Lord could set me free of that negative way of thinking. You know the feeling of being in a group of people, and you cannot wait to get out of that place. In extreme cases, it feels like a jockey that's on your back, riding you, getting you out of here. You need to get out of here. You need to get out of here. Somebody once told me, they just thought we were very busy and that we had to go to the next appointment because we're still sitting in church. And I'll tell my wife, remember we quickly need to go to Clicks. Remember we still need to go to Spar. Remember I was always looking for an excuse to get out of here. Do you feel like the odd one out? Do you feel jealous when something good happens to somebody else? They buy a new car. They own a car, they live in a nice home, they bought a home, they got a great job. Do you feel happy for them or do you jealous for them? I was jealous. I was always jealous. Like, Lord, serious? Hello? What about me? Give me some. Are you constantly worried about what people will think of you? Do you feel good when you can impress people? So if I've impressed him, then I feel good. Have you ever made appointment with people and you look forward to it? You're going to braai, you're going to eat, you're going to visit with them. But the closer you come to that appointment, the more you get agitated. I don't want to go. I don't want to be there. Why did I do it? Why did I actually make this appointment? Rationally, it doesn't make sense. I don't get it. Why? But that's how I felt. Do you easily connect and pray to Jesus, but you struggle to pray to Father God? I love to sit in front of Jesus. I love to imagine me spending time with Jesus. But it felt weird connecting to Father God. We pray through Jesus to God. But I couldn't connect to Father God. I prayed and connected with Jesus. Do you feel abandoned? Do you feel alienated or isolated? Do you struggle to accept yourself and love yourself? Really love yourself. I didn't understand that one. I didn't get that. Because I know my thoughts. I know my heart. How can I love myself? Are you hypersensitive? If somebody says something, you're offended. If somebody does something, you're offended. Do you feel good about yourself? I mean, sometimes I'll see something happening and I'll get offended on their behalf. How could they do that? How dare they? So if you said yes to a few of these, you might struggle with the orphan spirit. Or you might struggle with the orphan way of thinking. That's how I felt the most of my life. That's how I thought that's normal. That's how you should feel. And as if I feel jealous if something happens, I'm just, Lord, no, jealousy is not of you. I'm glad for them. I'm glad for you. And I just keep on saying it until I believed it. And I just worked on at the symptoms. I constantly lived and wanted to impress people. So I'll never open up my heart and share everything to you. And tonight, I'm laying everything bare. I'm telling you my deepest thoughts. I would connect a bit with you, but I won't tell you everything. Because I wanted to impress you. I won't tell you the ugly stuff. I won't connect with you and really share with you, because then I can't impress you if you know everything about me. So everybody just saw a little bit of me. If I really trusted you, I'll show you a little bit more. But never. Can you imagine how lonely that is? It's so sad, but that's just the way we think. The one thing I love about Shofar is we do encounter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And if you really let it, and you really go through this system, it will change the way you feel about yourself. It will change the way you feel about church. It will change the way that you feel about family. At that stage, I was walking with it for 35 odd years, maybe more. 19 of them I walked with the Lord. So it was so deeply within me that I didn't even allow it. I listened to it and everybody's like, wow, E3 is so amazing. And I'm like, no, it's okay. It's lacquer. There's one or two things I'm going to work at that. But it never opened up my heart. So last year, August, where the devil really, just he overplayed his hands. He just overstepped it. And he showed his hand so deliberately that it was in the light. It was just so obvious. So last year, August, I preached my last sermon. I thought I was amazing. I thought I was cool. I preached once a month. I mean, and then I realized, but actually, when I talk to people, the word I preached or I'm preparing a sermon came up quite a lot of times because I was impressing people. I thought I was cool. I preached. And then that evening in August, normally I preached when Deval and Danellis offer a weekend, or they preach like today, he's preaching in the Hermanus. So when he's not here, I used to preach. So I never preached in front of him. And that evening in August, he was actually here, and it was my time to preach. And I was so nervous. I was studying to become a pastor. I was studying how to prepare sermons. I was listening to teachings, how to do it. And the more I listened to that, the more confused I felt, the more stupid I felt, because I didn't go and study. So it just didn't make sense to me. And the more I prepared that sermon, the less it felt like it gelled. And that evening, I gave that sermon and I was so nervous, I couldn't look them in the eye. I couldn't, the more, you know, if I see them, I just want, I looked around here. I was like, I didn't connect with anybody. I was so nervous. Afterwards, Deval said, he felt so sorry for me. He didn't know, should he look at me? Should he look down? Should he actually leave? But then I'm going to feel worse. He didn't know what to do. So he just sat there. And I left that evening feeling like a worm. And I remember going home and I told my wife, and they were there here that evening. And they were like, I said, this was my worst preaching ever. This was my worst sermon ever. And that morning I went and I drove to work and I thought, I cannot believe that I sucked so much. I suck, I suck, I suck. That's what I thought. And then a week later, Deval gave me some time. And then he sent me a voice note and said, Donnie, I was actually scheduled to preach that a week or two later, the morning service. And he said, Donnie, before we do that service, maybe we, you know, send me your sermon beforehand and let's chat about it. That was the end for me. I didn't impress Deval. And I was rock bottom. I was angry at him because I couldn't impress him. I was angry at the Lord. I was angry at this MTP course that they sent me on to become a pastor. I was angry at everything and everybody. And I didn't understand it. Deep down, I tried to impress people, but I didn't realize it. It just was a way of doing things. If I impress you, lekker. If I don't impress you, send somebody a voice note. If they don't reply, it's like, did I say something wrong? Did I offend them? I was always nervous. Then once or twice I came to church. And like I said, I went from this guy that's super excited about the Lord to, you guys just irritate me. Leave me alone. And I just stopped coming to church. In September last year, I was over it. And I didn't come to church. Our cell were supposed to serve one morning. And I'm like, I'm always the first guy in the vault's office to pray before the service. And I thought, I'm not going to fake it. I'll rather stay away. Because people ask me, Donnie, what's up? What's going on? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I know it's not depression. I don't have that deep hole of depression. I'm in a deep hole and I don't know what it is. I don't know why I'm there. Because I struggled for many years. Chronic depression was part of my life. I was walking this thin line. If I practice enough, if I drink my vitamin B pills, if I spend enough time with the Lord, if I only listen to praise and worship music, I'm okay. But the day I skip something, boom. I'm in a deep hole that nothing excites you. And then I went for deliverance, same as E4. When Peter and Tani Leon Tron came and they said, there's one thing of deliverance that they never saw come back, and that's depression. And I thought, I want that. I remember at school thinking of taking my own life, drinking pills. I'll go into my stepdad's room and take some of his pills and drink it, and just hoping to end it. And it never worked. I didn't have the guts to do anything else. But there it was finished. When Peter prayed for me and I was delivered and I didn't have depression anymore. So it wasn't the same, but I was in a deep pit. And I was angry and I just felt so vulnerable. And I just felt so sad and confused. And I remember sitting at work thinking, so is this how it feels to be burnt out? That I just go at it too much. Because I was preaching, I was doing announcements, I was doing offerings, I helped at the encounters series, and I just told Deval, it's your fault. You are totally burning me out. I'm going to stop everything, and I didn't do anything. I wasn't involved in encounters anymore. I wasn't involved in anything. I just stopped everything. There's a scripture in John 10:10 that says, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he wanted to do. And he almost did. But the Lord took me into a desert where he could find my heart. And while I was going through this journey, the wall was on my case. The pastor's like, Donnie, let's connect. Donnie, let's connect. And I had 10 excuses. No, I can't. Sorry, I'm in Joburg. Sorry, this. No, no work. Blah, blah, blah. I was just ignoring him because I didn't want to face him. Because I didn't have answers. And I'm not going to bear my heart open to him. And I'm so amazed where people just kept on praying for me. And people will just randomly send me voice notes or messages and say, Donnie, I'm praying for you. And I'm like, well, Lord, I don't know what, why. But people just kept on praying for me. I was just nowhere. And then one in December, I just put on a fake smile and I just went through Christmas. I just went through the holidays and I tried to enjoy my holidays. And Deval said, come on, let's meet. And I'm like, no, I'm too busy. He's like, okay, when are you going on leave? And then we can meet. No, sorry, I can't. No, we're going there. I'm at the waterfront, whatever. I just avoided him. And then he preached a sermon in Jan. And he sent me a WhatsApp that said, Donnie, did you listen to the sermon my sermon on Sunday evening? There was a spirit-inspired moment which I think will help you. You must address this orphan spirit or it will drive you into the ground until the day you do. And then the last piece of the message wasn't, when can we meet? He said, let me know when you are ready to see me. Blessings. And you know, apparently in Afrikaans we say, if you hit your elbow, we call it your shock binky. In English they say it's your funny bone. It's not funny when you hit it. But there's like when I read that message, I was like, what happened? There was something that happened inside of me, like a shock. That was the first reaction. My second reaction was orphan spirit. Seriously. These charismatic people have a spirit for everything. Those of you that laugh also thought like that in the past. I know. And then I said, okay, no, what is this orphan spirit that you're talking about? Never heard of it. I want to know more. And I started listening to teachings. I started listening to sermons. I read up about it. And the more I started to read about it, the more I started to realize, wow, okay. Some of it I dealt with. Some of it I need to deal with. And then I started to realize there's a lot of people struggling with this. And there's many reasons how this comes to pass, how you start thinking the way you do. Firstly, I had this weird relationship with my stepdad. So my idea of a father was crooked. It's broken. I know people that grew up in a perfect family, but somewhere they thought and started thinking in the wrong way. And their spirit was skewed, was misformed. They started thinking the wrong way. And they look at Father God, this loving Father, and we don't get it. So then I decided, okay, I'll have coffee with Deval. I will now do this. After 6 months of him haunting me. And we had some coffee and we chatted about it. And he said, okay, so Donnie, how's it going? I said, no, it's lekker. I'm working through this. As it comes up, I'm just declaring truth over me. I'm reading up. I'm listening to YouTube, blah, blah, blah. And he turned his head and he said, with whom? And I'm like, come, dude, with the Lord. Hello? And he's like, no, with whom? And there I realized I was doing it on my own again. I was going through this journey. I was sharing with my wife, obviously, what's going on. But I was doing it on my own. And there, so let me just pause my story. I always thought the one thing I will never do is cry in the pastor's office. I mean, seriously, what must he think? How can I impress him if I cry? Okay, play again. And he asks, so with whom? Who are you journeying with? Who are you sharing your heart? And I burst out in tears. And I cried. dat die spoeg spat. I was crying, the tears is flowing all over the place. And you know what the saddest thing? While I was crying, I was wondering and worrying what JP is going to think when I walk out of here with red eyes. I was already worrying what people are going to think when I leave here. Sorry, Jean-Pierre. But I was already worrying what people are going to think of me. And I was crying more than I actually cried when my mom passed away. But it came out of a deep hurt that I just didn't connect. I didn't feel safe enough to share my heart with somebody. And I was so long that I've been journeying alone that I need to learn this. How do I do this? And Deval looked at me and is like, what about me? Can't I be your friend? You know, the first thought is like, why would he want to be my friend? Because that's how I think. That's the norm to me. So then we started, I saw this, I realized this is what's happening, and I started with my Bible study again. So we were now and again maybe reading a bit when the kids kept on asking, Dad, when are we going to read again? So in our house, we believe in discipline of reading, spending time in the Word every day. So every morning at 5:30, I take my kids some Milo or chocolate or coffee or whatever, and we say, okay, let's go and read. And we read together. And then I started again doing Bible study one morning, skipping a day, doing a day, skipping a day, and slowly but surely getting back to that discipline. Every morning, Monday to Friday, we spend time in the Word. That was step one, getting back, feeding my spirit with the Word of God. Because there's a saying that we take so much care of our bodies, feeding that. We take so much care feeding our minds, feeding our emotions. But we don't spend enough time reading the Word and feeding our spirits. So our spirit is this little stalk maniki, this little stick man. And our emotions and our body is this sumo wrestler. And now we expect the spirit to lead. It's impossible. We need the discipline of spending time in the Word. That was step one for me. So then it was time for E3, and they said, please pray for it. And my wife came and facilitated E3, and we prayed. And then somebody shared this song the second last song that we sang, Who Am I? And I listened to that song that evening, and I'm like, wow, this is amazing. Who am I that the King of Kings will welcome me? And that next morning, we did Bible study together, and we said, guys, listen to this song. It's amazing. Let's pray through this song for every person attending E3 that evening, that weekend. And I played it, and the Lord came, and He just filled my heart. And for the first time in 19 years, I experienced the Father's love. So, side note, I cannot remember once that my mom or my stepdad hugged us or kissed us. So I'm not used to affection. So it was weird when I came to show for a Malmesbury and everybody's hugging each other. I'm like, yeah, man, it's weird. Because I wasn't used to it. And for the first time that morning, I experienced the Father's love. And I was sitting there crying and crying and crying, but it was a lekker cry. It was a joyous cry. I couldn't stop. I think I sat there. I mean, we normally do 5:30 to 6 o'clock. It was way past. It was 6:30 already. The kids need to be at school at 7:30. I'm just like, go just and get ready. And I'm just crying. I'm just sitting there and experiencing God. And for the first time in my life, I've just experienced God, the Father. Because now I know the truth. Now I know I'm a son in God's house. When we sang it, I could just sit there and like, Daddy, thank you that I'm a son in your house. Thank you that I'm a son. I'm a real son. Now something happens and I want to be offended. I'm like, no, I'm a son in the house. He loves me so much. He thought of me when He died on the cross. Why do I have to be worried? My way of thinking changed. The way I see things changed. The way I speak changed. Everything changed. Because now I understand my relationship. After my daughter's, I only have one daughter. After her dedication, the pastor preached about parenthood. And my mom came afterwards and said, you know what, I realized I didn't do a good job. I'm sorry, please forgive me. Can we try again? So before she died, we had a beautiful relationship. But she was so focused on keeping my stepdad happy that she didn't have more energy, enough energy to look after our kids. We as kids. And then she wanted to start hugging and kissing, and I'm like, nah, it's weird. I wasn't used to it. I had to learn it. So now I want to put up some lies, and I want to replace them with truths. Now, those of you that have identified with some of this and like, yes, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know how you feel, because already you're worried, what's this man going to do afterwards? I hope he's not going to ask me to come to the front. I will die, I will not. What will people think? So those of you that do not identify with this, can I ask you to please sit now and pray for us? Because what people think is so important to us. And it's a journey that we need to walk. So those of you that do feel like, I'm not going up there, I'm not going to do it, please relax. We will not embarrass you. We will not make a spectacle. The reality is, the people that do not struggle with this and sit in the pews while other people come to the front, you know what they really think? It's, hallelujah, Lord, have a look there. You are touching that person's heart. Hallelujah, there's somebody coming to you. Hallelujah, Lord, there's somebody getting healed tonight. They don't think what we think they think. They don't think the bad stuff. Let's get to the lies and the truths. The orphan spirit operates from a place of insecurity and jealousy. That's how we feel. The spirit of sonship operates from a place of love and acceptance. That is the truth. The orphan spirit is jealous of the success of his brothers and sisters. The adult son and daughter of God is committed to the success of his brothers and sisters and glad with them. In the past, I was so angry when somebody bought a new car. Now I'm so excited, it feels like it's my car. It's just something just changed. The orphan spirit serves God to earn the Father's love. I was serving him. I was doing everything possible because I wanted to impress people and him. The mature son and daughter serves God from a place of supernatural acceptance, favor, and love. I'm already loved. I can't do anything to impress him. The orphan spirit is on the hunt for fake stimulation to work against the feeling of alienation. So if you feel alone, if you feel you're not part of it, what do? Play games on your phone. Some people look at porn. Some people drink. Some people party. Some people just watch TV. They just try to have some fake simulation. The mature son and daughter walks in the joy and presence of the Lord for comfort. The orphan spirit is driven by the need for success, but the Holy Spirit guides the adult son and daughter in their calling and mission. So I was thinking, if I can just be successful, then people will be impressed with me. If I drive the right car, people will be impressed with me. And I couldn't afford the right car, so I was like, Lord, please help me, please help me, please help me. I don't want to look at other people's cars and envy them. I was trying because I had the knowledge how it should be. The orphan spirit uses people to reach their goals, but the mature son and daughter serves others for the kingdom's sake. Now I'm not convinced or worried about having my own way. I want to serve other people and help them to get what God wants them to do. The orphan spirit has issues with anger and fits of rage. I would sometimes just blow up, and I could see the confusion on my wife's face. Like, what's happening? Well, nothing. The spirit of sonship rests in the Father's ability to control and lead our future. Now if I want to flip, I can just hear the Lord says, you're the son. The orphan spirit is in competition with others. The spirit of sonship blesses others. I'm not trying to outdo somebody or impress somebody. The orphan spirit struggles with a low or poor self-esteem. I mean, I was standing here preaching and coming to the front and doing announcement, but I was feeling I had such a low self-esteem. And if I told people, they were laughing at me. They thought I was kidding. I mean, it was on a bad day. I don't want to talk. I mean, if I'm in a meeting and I'm at a bad day, if I can't make coffee. I can't make coffee because it's like I literally shake. So the orphan spirit struggles with the low or poor self-esteem. The spirit of sonship walks in the love and acceptance of the Father God. I remember after experiencing Father God in that way, that I prayed that evening, Lord, please come and bless us and send your angels around us and protect us. And I felt like, but I'm your son. Of course you'll protect us. It just changed the way I think. The orphan spirit gets his identity in what he owns, how he looks, what he does. But the identity of the son and daughter is based on their sonship and their heavenly father's admiration, affirmation. The Lord loves us anyway. When he created the world, he already loved us. He knew what we will think before we do. He knew what we're going to say before we do it. He knows what we're going to do tomorrow, but he still loves us. So now, I just want to replace it with two or three scriptures. Ephesians 1 verse 5 and 6 says, he predestined and lovingly planned for us. Listen here, he planned for us. You're not a mistake. He planned for me. He predestined and lovingly planned for us to be adopted to himself as his own children through Christ Jesus. In accordance with the kind intention and good pleasure of his will. He could do anything. He decided he wants to adopt us. To the praise of his glorious grace and favor, which he so freely bestowed on us in the beloved his son, Jesus Christ. John 1, verse 12 and 13. But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the right, the authority, the privilege to become children of God. We are children. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. A divine and supernatural birth that are born of God, spiritually transformed, renewed, sanctified. We are new beings. If we ask Jesus Christ to come into my life, I'm a new being. And I need to change the way I think. And the last scripture, John 14, verse 18 to 21. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, bereaved, and helpless. I will come back to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live in you. I live, you will live also. On that day, when the time comes, you will know for yourselves that I am my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. I am in my Father. You are in me. I am in you. Intertwined. You can't see the beginning and the end. The person who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. I will make myself real to him. Can somebody just say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. I was wondering if somebody's still alive here. So, as the band comes up, I want to invite you, if you identified with some of these ways of thinking, if some of you thought, this is me, I struggle with this, I struggle with one or two, maybe five of these things, I want to invite you to come to the front and we are going to pray with you. It is not something that we're going to drive out of you. It is a new way of thinking. It is a new relationship that as we come to the front, we are going to declare, I am a child of God. I am loved by Father God. You are part of that family. You are part of this family. You're part of His family. You are the apple of His eye. He protects you. He loves you. He looks at you. He longs for you.